Revelation 18 and verse number 3, it says, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Now, one thing about this all nations, I want you to see something I thought was pretty interesting. If you will, take your Bibles first and turn with me to Genesis chapter number 18. What you're going to learn about the devil as you study the Bible is he is a great counterfeiter.
Yes, sir.
We are not to be imitators of God. That is not the biblical teaching. The Bible says you follow God.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't want any imitation crab meat. You know, y'all ever ate that imitation? It's just not as good. You know what I mean? I'd settle for it, I guess, if I had to. But yeah, I don't want imitation. You want the real thing, okay? Well, the devil is an imitator. Okay, now what you'll find is, as we've been studying this book, I've been trying to point out things where he tries to imitate and he tries to counterfeit the things that God does. That's why he said, I will be like the Most High. He wants to be like God, that's like his wisdom. God is all wise, all powerful. The devil did not lose his wisdom, according to Ezekiel 28. The Bible said his wisdom was corrupted. He said, "Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom." So he still has wisdom, it's just that it's corrupted. So he counterfeits the Lord, but he corrupts everything that he touches. Now, in Genesis chapter number 18, in verse number 18, this is the Abrahamic promise here, and of course Abraham was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, and this Jewish nation of Israel came out of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is what the Lord said concerning Abraham. He said in Genesis 18:18, "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." God has always wanted to bless all nations. But until the fall of the nation of Israel, this is the fall of the nation of Israel in Acts chapter 7 when they stoned Stephen full of the Holy Ghost. By that time, they had blasphemed the Father through cutting off the head of John the Baptist. Why? The Bible said John the Baptist is the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, and he was sent by the Father. So they cut off the voice, boom, denying the Father. They denied the Son upon the cross, and by denying the Son, they denied another member of the Godhead. Okay, so that's Father, Son, and then right here, Stephen is a messenger, just like John the Baptist is a messenger full of the Holy Ghost. The nation of Israel was gathered there to hear that sermon, and when they stoned Stephen, that's blasphemy. Father, Son, Holy Ghost right here, the nation of Israel fail, and the book of Acts records their diminishing, according to Romans chapter 11. The diminishing of Israel, and Acts records the transition from law to grace, from Peter to Paul, from the gospel of the kingdom to the gospel of the grace of God. So you have all that. Now what was the first intention was that all nations would be blessed, but they would have to come through the nation Israel. And what happened is, you got a gap in Daniel's 490 years. He said 70 weeks are determined upon thy people Israel. Okay, when the Lord Jesus Christ, it said in Daniel 9, the Messiah shall be cut off. 483 years had came to pass by the time the Lord Jesus Christ goes to the cross. And guess what happens when they denied the Son right here? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So he gave them another chance in early Acts, and that's why they're still preaching the literal, physical, visible, earthly, Davidic kingdom right there. And whenever they did that, guess what happened? He stopped this clock right here, Israel's clock. And according to Pauline doctrine, Paul gets the revelation of the mystery. And you know what happens? Right now, prophecy concerning Israel is not being fulfilled. That's why you got all this false prophecy going on. They're saying, "Man, look at all this going, look at all this other thing going over there." And they're looking at signs, and there's all kinds of people who are trying to date the rapture of the church by what's going on with the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel don't have anything to do with the church, the body of Christ. So you know what they're getting it wrong. You know what they're doing right now? Right now there's a big thing, if you follow preaching stuff and stuff like that, they're saying it's fixing to end this September. And they're saying the end of the world's coming in September because they're dating it by the Jewish feast day. Some of y'all may have seen some of that stuff on there. And guess what's going to happen? September's going to come and September's going to go. Why? Because they're wrong.
Right.
Why? Prophecy concerning the nation of Israel is not going on because we're in a gap, right? There's gaps all in Scripture, but we're in a gap right now in Israel's prophecy. Now what's going to happen is one day the Bible says the rapture of the body of Christ is going to happen.
That's right.
And He's going to resume His dealing and He is going to finish out Daniel's 70th week, so that last part of Daniel's 70th week will be finished out with the nation of Israel, and then He'll come and rule and reign in that 1,000-year millennial reign. But that's not going to happen until our time period is over with. Now, this is what the sermon today is going to be with this. I'm going to talk to y'all a little bit about how come people can use Bible verses and use the Bible to deceive because they got the programs on. Come on in here, sister. We're glad you're here. That's all right. Come on in here. So what I'm showing you is the devil's a counterfeiter. And when you read Revelation 18, it says, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Here he is counterfeiting the fact he's, instead of blessing all nations, he's cursing all nations. You see how the devil, instead of blessing, he curses. That's like out of the mouth. The Bible talks about out of the mouth proceeded forth blessing and cursing. "These things, brethren, these things ought not be so, or so to be," he says. Well, you know what? The devil uses a mouth. If you won't speak by the devil, instead of blessing others and being a blessing to other people, you can take this mouth and just do all kinds of damage with it.
Yes.
Well, the devil does damage. All right, now you take this thing right here, the abundance of her delicacies. Well, one thing about a nation is, this is what people get. Man, we want America to be blessed and we want America to have all these things and all this stuff. And man, everybody to be rich. Let me tell you something. If people don't handle it right, the worst thing that can happen to you is be too blessed or be blessed without God.
Right.
Don't think that the devil is not in the business of letting people be blessed and have all kinds of things so they'll forget God. That's one of the worst things. Some people, look, I'm going to tell you something. Somebody who is lost, one of the worst things they can do is have all their needs met and all their bills paid and everything else while they don't see a need for God. Even though they need God just as much as we do, they don't see their need for it. And this, by the time the world gets here, it's going to be to the place to where if you want to buy or sell or eat or drink, all you have to do, there's going to be a system set up where all you got to do is take the mark of the beast and you can have anything you want. But it don't last long, see? See, that's how deceptive the devil is. The Lord gives you freely. He'll freely give you eternal life. But you're going to have people who want to do whatever they got to do to buy or sell. Alright, so verse number 4 it says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." So that's showing you right there that there are people that belong to the Lord that are still in Babylon right before the thing is destroyed. Now who's that a picture of in the Old Testament? Lot.
That's right.
Lot was there. He's right there before the Lord lowers the boom on Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot has to get out. And guess who's telling Lot to get out? Angels.
Angels.
Well, you know what? You hear another voice in heaven, and the Bible describes, we've already went through Revelation, talking about those angels in that time period. Now, let me tell you this about these people, see these angels. I'm just going to tell you, man, I've heard people tell me, "I seen this angel, and this angel come down and got in my car, and we was going down the road." I don't know if they was drinking too much Sprite and eating too much pizza together and they had some kind of chemical reaction. I don't know what's going on. Only thing I think is either they're telling a whopper or they're losing their mind.
Right.
But y'all, we don't have to worry about seeing angels. You know what we have? You got a book.
That's right.
It's completely fulfilled, and I can read that Bible and I can get what I need out of the Word of God and have a sane mind. The Bible teaches you that the Lord will give you the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. It takes a sound mind to control the power of God and the love of God. Why? Because if you don't have a sound mind, you can't control love. You'll love everything. You know, and in our nation today, everybody, they love this movie, and I love this car, and I love this, and I love this other thing. Let me tell you something. There ought to be some things you hate.
That's right.
The Bible said over you that love the Lord, hate evil. You can't love cleanliness without hating germs. There ought to be some things in your life that you detest. That's like when I can't watch too much. I'm going to tell you something. Some of these news watchers, I don't say they do. And Bible says, think on whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. So you got all this bad report, and I tell you, so you watch too much of that news, you know what that stuff will do? That stuff will get you to thinking just like the world does, and before long you love the things of the world instead of the things of the Bible. And when I see people messing with children like they mess with children today, and I see this perverted mindset of people who are trying to do right and work hard, and everybody's against you, like, that just makes me mad. You know what the best thing I do is cut it off. Cut that stuff off, and I'm going to center myself around people that love the Lord and love the Bible and want to work hard and do the best they can do to help their family.
That's right.
That's kind of folks I want to be around. You know what happens? That spirit of that world will get in your heart.
Yes.
And before long, you adopt the same mindset. It's the course of this world, Paul said. And you're on the Satan's course. That's all people. That's why they call it a program, the news program. It's programming your mind to have a liberal mindset to where everything, everybody's against you.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you that this stuff right here, be not partakers of her sins. There's one thing I want to show you out of Pauline Revelation. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, I think it is. Should be verse number 22. Here's something that's kind of like this, which, of course, I'm partaker in the Lord Jesus Christ, so I ain't got to worry about being partaker of somebody's sins. Now, as far as my flesh can sin, my soul is saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ, your soul is saved. But here's something here that you need to see. In 1 Timothy 5, verse number 22, he's telling Timothy, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins, keep thyself pure. Now, he's dealing with teachers. And at this time, you're dealing with an apostle, and they would lay their hands on somebody there and show their approval.
That's right.
You be careful who you approve. The Bible says those are approved. In Corinthians, he said, there's heresies among you that those who are approved will be manifest. Who's approved? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, and need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know who's approved? Somebody who's taking that Bible and showing you what it is in the context. One thing that I've seen is I've talked to other people in our area. You know what we're so used to in this area? We're so used to somebody standing behind a pulpit and taking a verse and taking a fit and sitting up there and preaching a whole bunch of stuff and not backing it up with the Bible.
I
believe that we ought to be Bible believers. Y'all check what I'm saying with the Bible and check what other people are saying with the Bible. Why? Because men are infallible. I'm infallible. I'm just a man. Okay, if we're not checking things with the Bible, before long, you'll say, well, so-and-so, well, my pastor believes so-and-so, and our church believes so-and-so. Well, if y'all don't believe what the Bible believes, it don't matter what all y'all believe. It don't matter what your pastor teaches. If it's wrong on the Bible, it's wrong.
That's right.
Now, I'm trying to tell you that one. Talking about for us, don't suddenly lay your hands on folks, so to speak, and don't suddenly... Because he said, on no man, no matter who it is, don't suddenly give your approval on things. Before long, you could be approving somebody who's teaching something just crazy. Because I can tell you something. I know, I'm going to prove to you today, some of the most popular teachers out there teach works for salvation in our time period in the body of Christ. We are not under law. Romans tells you, you are not under law. You know if you add anything to the gospel of Christ... that you have to do, that's adding works for salvation.
That's right.
I have been to revival meetings, and I've been sitting there, and they say, man, they always get up there, and if you'd just come down here to the front, and you could get saved, why don't you teach them they can get saved wherever they're at? Why do you got to put a stipulation on something? What I'm saying is people will put stipulations on things that God never said.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't have to do anything for salvation. The only thing that Christ requires for salvation is you place your faith and trust in what he did. And I'm going to start telling y'all more and more of this. Why? Because we're supposed to keep the gospel right. Paul said, I am set for the defense of the gospel.
That's right.
It's my business If I'm going to do what God said, to make sure I'm telling y'all so we tell other people right. You add other things, the gospel, look, you can believe what you want to, but make sure you say that's what a man said, and you believe what a man says instead of what the Bible said. We're going to believe what the Bible says.
Amen.
You got children and stuff like that coming up, and you know what they're being taught? They have to do things. They have to perform for salvation when Christ already did everything for you.
Right.
Y'all, we've got to keep the gospel pure and simple and plain. I have seen children trust the Lord Jesus Christ in simple faith where somebody in their 30s and 40s, you tell them, the gospel's this simple. And you give them the gospel right out of the Bible and they say, yeah, but I got to do so and so. And what if I stop going to church? Or what if I stop doing this? And what if I stop reading your Bible is not salvation. Y'all, there are people who, some people can't even read anymore. Well, you can't put that on people. You say, well, so-and-so didn't want to read. I tell you, there are things that happen in people's life where for months they just get in a depressed state, man. And if you put that on them, you know what you're doing? You're placing something on them God didn't put on them. And here's what people will do. I've seen it happen. We've seen it happen in our life. Somebody will go through a hard time in their life and somebody will say, I just wonder if they ever got saved. And they'll have a real hard thing going on in their life and they don't even know what's going on. They say, I don't know why they're not reading the Bible. They said they wasn't going to church so and so. Yeah, you go through that same thing. You didn't lose it, but you think they did whenever they went through that hard time. Right. You see how people put things on people? You cannot do that. You don't know what's going on in somebody's heart. We don't know the heart. God does.
Yes.
So that's why we have to keep this stuff straight. And that's why I'm trying to tell y'all things out of the Bible. We're going to study the whole Bible. But you have to study it in light of where you are. I'm not in that time period. And guess what? I'm not going to go through this time of tribulation.
I try.
So you know what I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to keep that straight with you. As I teach the Bible, I'm supposed to keep that straight. But you know what you've got teachers doing now? They'll just jumble the Bible all up and make out like every bit of it's to you. You know, like that song, every promise is in the book's mine, every jot, every line. That's not right. We're not fighting giants today. I've got all kinds of, now I'm like y'all now. My favorite story, I know y'all know this. I like that story about that old boy went down that pit and slew that line. But I can't do that.
That's right.
So we're going to keep it straight. There went a rabbit, but anyway. Verse number 5, it says, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Now here's a strange thing.
Yes.
why did it say it reached unto heaven? Let's go down this trail for just a minute. How much time we got? Oh yeah. All right, now look here. Let's start off with Genesis chapter 4. I want to show you some things in the Bible. And I'll try to explain this thing as well as I'm capable of, but you need to see this, because if you don't,
yes.
I think it'll mess your view up of God and of salvation too.
Yes.
When it said it reached God, do you know, here it is. I got some of this chart on here. Now as you're turning to Genesis 4, I'm going to try to explain something real quick to you. The Bible said in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth.
Yes.
Alright, well you know that as you find out, Satan fell, and I know I don't have time to teach Genesis to you, but anyway, Satan fell. So you know what God had to do? He had to put a firmament. Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, he put a firmament there, and he said the waters, he separated the waters from the waters. So you know what you have? When you read Job, it said the face of the deep is frozen.
Right.
The Bible talks about there's a sea of crystal up there. And you know, a lot of your old hymn writers, they understood this doctrine because they would talk about crossing over the crystal sea. All right, so what he did is he put waters up here and waters down here. Okay, now here's an interesting thing. Water is two hydrogens and oxygen, H2O. Do you know that's a strange thing? Why? Those are flammable things.
That's right.
God knows how to ignite that flame. Somebody says, where's the lake of fire? Now, ultimately, in whenever everything's over, he's going to put the lake of fire down here at the bottom. That's amazing, of the universe. But anyway, all right, so you got this thing up here. Here's God. The Bible said he sits. Why did Satan want to ascend to the sides of the north? It's like a mountain. And he's sitting up there in the top of the universe, and his throne is up here. But guess what? Now that sin has entered in, you know what God had to do? He had to put a great deep up there at the very top. and he sits at the very top, and he has to hide his glory from all creation. Why? The heavens now are not clean in thy sight. His glory would burn it all up.
Yes.
So you know what he does? He does the same thing. You say, was there a picture of that? Right now, the sun's out there. But you know what? Even as bright as that sun is, clouds can come up. And those clouds have got water in them. And that, even though the sun's there, those clouds will block the sun rays.
Right.
So that's what's going on. And so what you have is, you've got this thing where he placed this firmament here. And so God the Father, he's sitting up there and he's pure because the heavens are not clean to sight. So you know what you're going to find out as you read? Sin has to reach up to him. He's got watchers and everything else up there. You know, the Bible talks about how when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What's the deal? The Father's not looking at him while he's got sin on him.
That's right. Cannot.
He cannot look at... See, you don't realize how important the cross is. See,
That's right. This is the elements
of the cross. Do you know without the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ dying in your place, you couldn't go to heaven because you would burn up. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. Now, what's hell? People say, well, in hell, people are just going to be absent from God. David said, though I make my bed in hell, thou art there. You know what hell's? People are going to experience God without the covering.
That's right.
Let me tell you something about hell.
That's right.
And I'm not just, I know y'all are Bible students, so I'm trying to just show y'all some things. A lot of times you don't hear. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ up on the cross, and he's suffering sin for us on the cross. He's suffering for you. And the cross is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ suffering your eternal torment. And you know what he's doing? He's pushing up to breathe. Because see, it's to push up to breathe. You know what, ultimately speaking, when people go to the lake of fire, you can't breathe. You don't get no water. You see, a lot of times we don't appreciate Calvary. We just read it and just pass over it and say, well, thank you, Lord, for... You don't realize something. He died for your sins on the cross. And took... That's the wrath of God. Why? The consuming fire of God is going to burn sin forever. Why? Because if you don't die with your sins on the cross... I got the cross on the other side. If you don't die with your sins on Christ... And the Father don't see that your sins were paid for on Christ. He will allow you to pay for your sins your own self in hell. That's what hell is. People say, "Well, I'm gonna go to hell and just pay for it." You can't pay for them. That's why Christ said you'll go to hell and burn forever. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we try to get the gospel out pure, simple, and plain. Why? Because if it was so important, that's why it's so important, I should have said, that he had to make it simple so a little child could understand it, because he doesn't want anybody to go there. That's the thing about Calvary, and that's the thing about the gospel. The Lord doesn't want anybody to go. Now, you know what we do? We try to make this thing simple. It said it reached up. Now, I know rabbits are jumping out everywhere, but I've been reading my Bible for a while this morning. Genesis chapter 4. But is that making sense, though? You see what I'm saying? All right, Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 10. It says, this is after Cain killed his brother. And it says, man, I got to read in verse 9. It says, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, of course you are.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are your brother's keeper. You're supposed to keep your watch on your brother. That's what, even over in Pauline gospel, he tells you we're supposed to watch out for each other and love one another. It said over in Romans 12, love with a brotherly love. You're supposed to love your brothers. I'm going to tell you something, man, which my little brother back when he was around, I'm going to tell you something. I've just got to jump on. Me and him were best friends. I'm going to tell you this right here. If you talk bad, we talk bad about one another. We get out in that yard and fight. But I tell you this, you did not talk bad about me around my brother. And you did not talk bad about my brother around me. You know what? We would do a whole lot better as the body of Christ if we took up for one another instead of running each other down.
Amen.
You're supposed to take up for your brother and sister and say, hold on just a minute now. Because you know what people do? That if they can't attack anything else about you, they'll attack your character.
Yes.
especially my church family. I love y'all. I'm telling you this right now. Somebody talks bad about y'all around me, I'll say, hold on, well, let's get the phone here and see what they think about this.
Right.
I just tell you. And it says this. And he said, what hast thou done? Thy voice, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground.
Right.
See, it's reaching unto God. God knows what's going on, even though he didn't see it. It's crying unto him. Let me show you another one. It's a bunch of these, but I'm trying to show you this thing. In Genesis 11, verse number 5, this is when they got the one world government going on the first time. And they were told to scatter, and they said, no, let's don't scatter, let's get together. And it says in verse number 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded, because he had said it had reached up to him. Let's see. I may have missed that verse, but it's a verse over here where it says, even verse 7 says, go to, let us go down, and there confound their language. So you got the angel of the Lord came down. Now, all through the Bible, the angel of the Lord, that's a pre-incarnate Christ. And he comes down there, but God the Father is still up there in his glory. Let me show you another one. Genesis 18, here's another good one. Genesis 18, verse number 21. I was telling y'all that about the gospel. Sometimes I'm just so glad to be saved. I do want to just thank the Lord, man. I tell you something. Thank God for salvation, and not only that, but assurance. You know, Paul said we have much assurance.
Yes.
I'm not going to let the world, the flesh, my flesh, or anybody else's flesh question what I have in the Lord. I know I'm saved. How do I know? Because of what Jesus did, not because of anything I can do. Genesis 18. Look at verse number 21. Verse 20 for context. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And see, here he is up here. He has to send the angel of the Lord down there, which you'll read about the angel of the Lord. He sends it down because the cry reaches up. Here's another thing. I want you to see something. Look at Daniel chapter 4. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. I love studying the Bible, y'all. Daniel 4, verse 17. These verses will be what helps you.
Yeah.
Daniel 4, verse 17 says, this is concerning all these visions. And it talks about Satan's kingdom and how it's going to spread and everything, and then eventually the Lord's kingdom will take over. But look at verse 17. It says, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Now, people complain about leaders, but the Bible said the basis of men are ruling. So it's always been that way. All right, now let me give you another one here. Look at Daniel 4, verse 21. It says, I think it's going to be verse 21. There's another verse on the watchers here. It may be verse 27. I may have wrote that down wrong this morning. Well, anyway, it's in there. I don't have time to read it, but it's another verse in there. It talks about the watchers. If any of y'all see it, you can point it out to me. But I was thinking it was... All right, so you got watchers. And now what you have is God's all-powerful. The Bible says in Revelation 19:6, He's omnipotent. But you know what He does? He limits His knowledge. Because he wants to. I'm going to show you some verses on that. Matthew 7. We got a little time. I want you to see this thing. Matthew 7 and verse number 23. Matthew 7. Because he's all powerful. And this will help you with the cross of Christ. Matthew 7 and verse number 23. It says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What's that? The Lord, whenever He blots those names out, we talked about those books. He's able to take his knowledge, even though he's all powerful, and he's able to say, "I never knew you." Why? Because he's able to wipe that away. Because he's all powerful, he's able to limit his knowledge. He's able to say, "I never knew you." Here's another one. Look at Hebrews 10. I'm going somewhere with this. So whenever you read verses like Habakkuk 1:13, where he says, "I'm of pure eyes to them to behold evil," what it is he's not up there beholding that stuff like people think. Even though he's all knowing, he's got watchers, and he's got angels and things that do things for him all down through time. And you know what they do? They come up, according to 1 Kings 22. We've read that whole story about they coming up, and they bring reports to him. That way, he's not sitting up there in his glory looking down at all these sins. That's why when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he turned his face, because he wasn't going to look on sin, see. Now, you got this thing in Hebrews 10, verse 17. And it says this, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." He chooses, with even Israel's program, not to remember the sins anymore. That's amazing. That's amazing to me. Now, how is that so important with us? Y'all know every one of us are sinners. The Bible said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So what's the Lord able to do? Even though He knows we're all sinners, now, because if you've trusted the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, He said you have one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So when we go to God in prayer, He's not looking at sinful Chase coming to Him with these petitions, these supplications, these intercessions. You know what the Bible said? He maketh intercession for us. That's why we sing, we come to the Father through the Son, and we come by the Holy Spirit of God. So how do I get to the Father? I'm a sinner. You know what I can do? I can get straight to the Father because I have got a mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said, and I've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, so I can take my supplications, my intercessions to God, the Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? He don't, even though I know, and y'all know I'm a sinner, but the Father looks on me like it's His Son.
Yes. Amen.
You say, "How could that happen?" I know. See, the Bible don't contradict. You got people who, they get on the internet and they find these verses and they say, "Well, this contradicts. How could God says He knows He's got all these sinners and all this type of stuff down here, and how is God looking down at those and hearing them when He says He heareth not sinners?" Well, I tell you how He hears them. Because we're going through His Son. And His Son is perfect. His Son is sinless. And we can go approach Him because of what His Son did on the cross. Man, I tell you something. That stuff like that makes you appreciate salvation. That's the kind of thing right there. It makes me say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Not something I've done, but because of something He's done. Here's the last thing. We got a few minutes. I got to show you this thing in Revelation. It says, in verse 6, "Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she had fulfilled, fill full to her double." Well, first thing, double, 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 that's there. We're going to you look at the thing on the law, but Father, Son, Holy Ghost. All right. But also, look at Exodus 22. You got to see this. Man, Exodus 22. This is under the law. You got to remember, the Lord's going to fulfill His law covenant with Israel and put them under a new covenant in a New Testament. It's amazing. All right, so Exodus 22, this is Israel's law. Y'all remember double. All right, so it says this in Exodus 22, verse 7, "If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep, and it be stolen out of the man's house, if the thief..." See, that thief ought to tell you something. Here's the devil. All right, "The thief be found, let him pay double." All right, watch this. "If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he have put his hand unto his neighbor's goods for all manner of trespass." Watch this. All manner. "Whether it be of ox..." "Whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing which another challengeth to be his, It says the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. So under the law, if somebody stole something or anything that was challenged to be his, he said he had to pay double. Now, as we've been reading Revelation, what has the devil challenged to be his? Hold your place. Man, you got to see this. The devil has said, and just in this one, in Revelation 18, look at verse number 13, it says, "And cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men." That's why you got those souls under the altar that he had slain for the word of God. He killed those people, and guess what? The devil's trying to get their soul. So why would the Lord reward him double? Jot down your margin, Ezekiel 18:4. You got to, man, I love how the Bible goes together. Ezekiel 18:4. The devil says souls are his. He's trying to steal their souls. Ezekiel 18, verse 4, the Lord says this, "Behold," I love this verse. This is amazing to me. "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine." Said the soul of sinners shall surely die. Well, how am I not going to die? Because my soul is washed in the blood. But you know what he says? All souls are mine. And he said, over in the law, anything that he challengeth to be his, the Lord says, souls are mine. You're trying to take my souls. So when I destroy your city and all your people in it, I'm going to give you double, just like he said under the law.
How about that?
God, let me tell you this. God keeps the law. When you read that Bible, God keeps it perfect. Why? The Son, when He came, He kept every jot and every tittle of the law because we can't keep it. And even the Father keeps the law. When He says He's going to do something, He does it according to the law. You know what that tells me? I don't ever have to question my salvation. Why? Because I know I can't keep the law. The Son kept it for me. I'm in the Son, and I know I'm perfect in the Father's eyes, not because of my keeping, but because of His keeping.
Amen. Look at Isaiah 42.
Isaiah 40, verse 2. Isaiah 40, verse number 2. "Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins." The law fulfilled in that too. Man, that's good. I appreciate you showing me that. Man, I tell you what. See, the Lord keeps it, don't He?
Yes.
You know another thing, I know I'm trying to close. You never have to doubt the Word of God. A man could not have wrote that book.
No, sir.
Y'all, when I studied the Word of God, how could all that stuff go together like that? If a man, there's no way a man could have wrote that. People say, well, men wrote the Bible. You better check again. God had them, and He said it's His job to preserve His Word. The Bible says in Psalms 12, 6 and 7, "The words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in the furnace of earth. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord." The Lord's keeping them.
Right.
"Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever."
Right.
I've got the Word of God. I don't care what scholars say.
Right.
I got it.
Amen.
Let's pray. Brother Mike.